is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have been sent with the word of God for everyone, especially parents. It is a call to arms for parents. A call to arms for parents. So I invite you to give me your full attention. Call your friends if you have friends who are parenting with you and you share that with them. Call them up and invite them to hear the broadcast, because God is sending a call to arms in this day. I understand in the Navy they call it general quarters, and the announcement would come if it were battle was coming up. The announcement would say, general quarters, this is not a drill. Repeat, this is not a drill. If you watch some of these science fiction movies, you understand when they say battle stations. Well, this is it, a call to arms in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. You're familiar with, it says in the King James, and know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. What does perilous mean? Dangerous. In the New American Standard, it says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Well, I know you know it's a difficult time. In our world, for many of you and your family, it's a difficult time. Everyone knows this, and we don't have to go into that too much. Everyone knows. But I want to point out to you, because it's coming from every side, I want to point out that the attack is particularly on the children. Particularly on the children. And we can go through this whole list of things that Paul says will come in the last days, and wish to do that. But right now I want to point out how much this affects the children and how great the flood of attack is on the children. And so much so that young parents, young women, hardly can keep up. And it's been that way for so long, but it's getting so much more. It's numbing. And I will go through this list, but for now I want to help you see where I'm going. If you skip down to the 14th verse, Paul begins to tell Timothy now what to do. All of these bad things are coming. What do you do? Verse 14. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned. Paul is saying this to Timothy, who has learned it from his mother in this case. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. That from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Let's stop there at the end of 16. We don't know a whole lot about Timothy. We know that his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois were believers, and we don't know anything about Paul's father. And I'm not going to preach on silence, but I think that's very interesting that we don't know. But we do know that his mother was a believer, and if she was a believer and an admirable one, she would have known and followed the advice that is in the Word of God in Deuteronomy 6. Which, let's turn to Deuteronomy 6. I think it's particularly important, and I hope encouraging, to some of you who are single mothers. Because in this day, in this hour, you know that so many of our children are growing up without fathers in the home. Whether from divorce, a large number, I guess the statistic is about half of all American children will live in a home at some time with no male present. Many more will not have their biological father present, and some of them have never known their fathers. And even in some households where there is a husband to the mother, he may not be much of a father. So I want this fact that we don't know anything about Timothy's father to be encouragement to you. And we're going to talk about that today. I hope it will be today, but God has a promise for you who are single mothers. But whether you are single or not, the job is the same when you are child rearing, and it is your duty as a teacher of the word to your children to teach them the word, to actually do that job. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. Very important chapter. This sums up God's commands to his people. And we'll start in verse 4. You know, this is such a hugely famous verse of scripture, and Jews write this on a piece of paper and put it in a little box beside their door called the mezuzah, and they recite this as they go in and out of their house. This is serious, folks. This is it. This is like a center point. This is important. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. You probably recognize this. Jesus quoted this as the most important commandment. Hallelujah. And verse 6, and these words which I am commanding you today, God is speaking to the children of Israel, shall be on your heart. Verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verse 10, and then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he gave, which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and be satisfied. Hallelujah. Hear, O Israel, this word made Israel and made Judaism what it is. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might. This is what Jesus said was the most important commandments. And right then, right after that, it says, they shall be on your heart. Shall be. Very strong imperative. They shall be on your heart. And we understand that we are to take the word of God and mix it with faith and speak it, and whatever is on the heart is in the heart, comes out of the mouth. We speak this, we know this, we teach this, we rehearse this. And let's not forget verse 7. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, to your offspring, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. This is the call to arms. Parents, we've got to teach the word of God to our children. And it is time and high time. It is more than that. It is a battle. Because the enemy is attacking every which way. He's attacking the bodies. He's attacking the minds. He's attacking the spiritual words. He's attacking in all ways, and especially for the children. And you can see the results. We don't need the security officer to tell us which decks have blown off. It's the nursery deck where the shielding and the siding is disintegrating. And I want to go into some of that so you know. But the point here is, it is more than high time to be in your place, battle stations. And what is the most important directive? Well, hear, O Israel, God is one God, and love God with all of yourself and speak the word and know the word and do the word and teach it to your offspring. And not just once in a while. Not just take them to church until they get 12. That's not what it says. It doesn't say, and be sure that you send them to Sunday school. Be sure that you send them to VBS. That's very anemic. No, that's not what it says. That's not even what it says. It says, you shall teach them diligently. I don't know how it could be stronger. You shall teach them diligently to your offspring. And how do you do this? And shall talk of them when you sit in your house. You talk to them in the house. Sure, it's good to send them to church, right, synagogue, wherever. Sure, take them to the temple. That's not discredited. It says here, however, you shall teach them diligently. You teach them. So you teach them. Parents are home educators. They hire teachers, tutors, send them to school of any sort. Fine. Those are tools. Parents here are commanded, right after the most important commandment, they are commanded to teach their children. So parents are home educators. What are you teaching? It's a silence. You teaching nothing? Now, you do teach by example. And how many times have we, seen that children do, in fact, reflect what the parents really believe and how they really act? You know that every school teacher is tearing her hair out over some of the students in her class, and she wonders, why are these kids this way? And then she has that question answered for her when she has parent-teacher conference, because she sees that that child is just like the parent, right? Why is this child always unkempt? Oh. Why is this child so disrespectful and has a dirty mouth? Oh. Why is this child so diligent and over-responsible? Oh. Right? And you parents, you don't often ask the question, but you might, why is my child this way? Well, look in the mirror. Well, of course, there's two mirrors. But if you see a pattern in your small children, guess what? Number one root is probably you. Now, there are other roots, and that you need to find out what's going on at school, what's going on in the playground. You need to do that because there are other seeds. But your seed, of course, is the original seed. Teach them diligently to your children. So you teach by example, but let's not be fooled into the doctrine of we teach by what we do. You do, of course, but you cannot absent yourself from really teaching. What would you think of an elementary school teacher who came to her desk at Sweet Valley Elementary and laid out on her desk her graduate education textbooks and spent her day reading those and not teaching the children anything? Would the children know how to read? Would she get paid? No, she has to actually teach in a developmentally appropriate fashion. She has to actually teach. And you have to use words to do that. Now, of course, she needs to know something. She has to be able to read herself. So if you're going to teach, you have to learn first, parents. You cannot leave the teaching of sound doctrine to someone else, anyone else. Sunday school teachers, bless their hearts and thank you very much. They only have an hour or two to do it. And they may just be the people who could be spared, who could be arm-twisted into serving, right? No, you study, and then you teach. Get somebody's help. You need to learn. You need to teach. This is what it says here. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and people... families need to be in their houses some of the time, not all of the time, but some of the time, and talking. I believe in family dinner table. And when I was in graduate school, when I was in the pastorate, didn't matter. I had many more than 50, many more than 60 hours of work a week. But I sat down and prepared. I sat down to a cooked meal and sat with my daughter. And we had family dinner because that is a number one good place to talk about life with the family. Do it. When you walk, by the way, well, great to walk. Maybe you're driving. Maybe you could say a prayer in the car over your children. Bless them as they get out of your car and go into school. Or is something else going on during that car? There was, I remember a psychologist talking. And I don't know that it was a scientific study, but he did notice in his practice that the families that had to drive an hour to get there, they just did so much better than the families who had a short drive. And he realized that it was people were talking, the parents and the children were talking with each other about the topics of their counseling sessions in the car for that hour. And they were progressing so much more than the families who only came for an hour. So if somebody was driving an hour, they were actually getting 3 hours of counseling, because the most important was for the parent and the child to be processing together. But today, that was more than 10 years ago. Today, what's going on in cars? Are you popping on some kind of electronic thingamajig for your children? I certainly hope you're not listening to that or talking on the phone when you're driving. But what about the kids? When I was a director of a preschool, my teachers alerted me to the fact that the children who were arriving in a car where they had, or a vehicle where they had watched television on the way into school, those children had a much more difficult time synchronizing with the class and beginning to interact in an appropriate way in class. Whereas the children who came to school, preschool in this case, in a vehicle with other children because there was a carpool, those children entered class and began to synchronize with what was going on in the class in a superior way. So it was about perhaps practicing social interaction, or maybe it was about actually dealing with the real world. You know, I'm very concerned out and about when I say hello to preschool children. Many, many of them are not responding. The babies still respond, but most of the children between 2 and 10 are not responding. I guess 80% of them. Not responding at all. This is weird. This would never have happened 30 years ago. Never, ever. But I mean, I don't mean that they have to say hello back in an appropriate way. I respond in any way, even like make shy, whatever. Make strange. Some people say, depending on what region you are. I think that the children are not distinguishing between a virtual person on television and a real person. Because I'm not their parent. You know, I may be just someone in a mall or in a store, but I'm waving and they see me and it doesn't matter to them. That's odd. I'm very concerned. So what I'm saying is, be sure you're interacting with your children and of course with your babies. You know, children cannot develop brains without and certainly lives without some social interaction. We need to do more than simply allow them to learn language. We need to keep it up, and we need to teach them the word of God and godly behavior. And it is input, output. If you want good grown children, children that you enjoy, children that are a joy to be around, you need to put in the word and a joyful life into them when they're younger. Now, it's not that the Lord can't redeem it, but this is the way that is planned. Talk of them, the commandments, when you sit in your house and when you walk, by the way, I'm saying when you drive, and when you lie down and when you rise up. Pray with your children. Make God a part of your family life. Does God dwell in your hearts? That's good. How about in your household? This is a vision beyond what I can imagine. I have lived in Christian community. I have lived and know godly people, and I surround myself entirely with the Word. But yet, I don't believe I've ever seen this. Or maybe, yes, I have. I knew a couple of families. Those were the households that I still dream of, and I loved to go over there when I was a child. Yeah, it's like heaven on earth. To walk into a household where everybody is in their place, doing their thing, and the blessing of God, doing their thing, meaning doing their assignments, right? And the blessing of God coming out of their mouth was so wonderful. So wonderful. It was just great just to be in those households. I remember washing dishes with Lisa. I went to elementary school with Lisa. I remember eating fresh baked bread with Linda, who was a good friend in junior high. Hallelujah. Wish I could find them. Okay, so when you lie down and when you rise up, meditate in the Word day and night and do it with your children. Now, I know that mothers, particularly if you have several children, you really need, or you're very employed and you're doing so much at the church, you need some quiet time. Hallelujah, good, have quiet time. You need that. But that doesn't have to be the only time that you have devotions. You can do it with your children. And it doesn't have to be long and drawn out. It can be a beautiful, short thing. You know, you can say something to them while you're pouring their cereal. But do it. And it's amazing to me, when I'm looking at things from all angles, that this is the place where Christian families are the most attacked. Most attacked. People talk about the horrors of being reared in a Christian home. They're talking about family devotions. There's a reason why that's so much attacked. And what is the promise here? Then, when you come into the land, you will have such a rich life. And in this case, let's take that figuratively. Of course, it was meant literally here to the children of Israel. But if you plant this sort of seed in your family, think what kind of harvest you will have in your family. You will be thoroughly furnished. And not just in furniture, right? But in strong, godly adult children and posterity, right? Posterity, prosperity. Hallelujah. It is time. It is time. We are to the battle. Envision winning the battle. And so let's quickly go to Isaiah 54, since I promised that we would do that. And you may recognize that as the scripture that I named this broadcast after, Isaiah 54 and 13. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be their shalom. Hallelujah. Also, I promised to speak to the single mothers out there. So Isaiah 54 and verse 5, for your husband is your maker. Well, let's go up to verse 4. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame, neither feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced, but you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. And later on it says, my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of shalom shall not be shaken, says the Lord. Personal name of God who has compassion on you. There's so much here in this scripture. But I want to point out that for your husband is your maker. I encourage you single women, single mothers, to apply this and make the Lord your husband and the head of your household. And apply this promise in a way so that you have comfort and your children have comfort and direction. Sometimes it is bewildering, and I can't imagine even how a single woman will raise a son into manhood. But all things are possible with God. So apply this and invite the Lord to fill up that space that a husband and a father should have in your family. Hallelujah. Because God wants total well-being for all children. Hallelujah. It's a dangerous and a difficult time. And we are called specifically as parents to our station as teacher. That is part of our duty as parents. But we don't do it in our own strength, but in the power and the might of the Lord. And God has declared his will. So let's take it, receive it, take it by faith and enforce it in our family that all our offspring shall be taught of the Lord. Learn it of God. And great will be our shalom, our children's and our families as we enforce this promise in our household. Hallelujah. And let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are a father to us and a great king overall, a great captain of the Lord's host, El Tzabaoth, that you are mighty man of war and you win the battle for us. Lord, we resolve to be in our place, to be in rank and on assignment. And as parents, we take up that commandment. We receive the promise inherent in that commandment that we will teach our children and you will enable us to teach our children and our children will be taught and indeed learned of God. And therefore, we will all be blessed. Hallelujah. For all those who regret their mistakes, their lack of drilling, their lack of teaching their children, we confess this as having come short of the standard set for us. And we receive your cleansing, your forgiveness, your grace, and we commit ourselves to following in your way, Father, in the mighty, matchless, holy, powerful name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.